this report is reproduced on a yearly basis by UNICEF, WHO, World Bank, and the UN Division of Population. So it tries to reconcile statistics and data from different countries so that they can be able to be comparable to each other. And this is done in consultation with the respective governments. So there's in-country consultation before production of the reports. And usually the government has to acknowledge the statistics and everything. So the one for this year, yes, has just been produced and published. So the key findings really is that there are three or four key findings. One is that the under five death, the children who die before their fifth birthday, has globally continued to decrease, though the figure is still unacceptably very high, as you said it. You find that, you notice that there is regional disparity in terms of, if you look at the South Saharan Africa, is highly affected compared to other region where South Sudan actually lies. And there's also disparity in according to income. Children born to mothers from the rural areas are more likely to die before their fifth birthday than children born in urban areas. There's also children born to mothers from poor households are more likely to die, according to the report. And you see, you still also, there's disparity between girls and boys. Boys are slightly at higher chances of dying than girls. So all this report shows, if
Why is that so, though?
I think probably because also the health-seeking behaviors of the parents in, when it comes to when a girl child is sick and when a boy is sick. So, but if you see, generally, it doesn't show only the well-being of children and young adolescents, but also the general, broadly, the socio-economic status of the country. Because things like education, shows mothers who are educated, their children are less likely to die when you compare to mothers who are not educated.
Yes, yeah. And also according to this report, millions of children are still dying because of who they are and where they are born. Now, South Sudan is unique in this regard, a country where children are born amidst a cocktail of challenges. Conflict is one of them, low literacy rates, malnutrition and poverty. Can you just paint for us the image of child mortality rate in this country, which is South Sudan?
Well, as I said initially, generally you see a decrease since, if you see, look at since 19, the last two decades, and now child mortality has decreased. But South Sudan, if you compare South Sudan 2016 and the 2017 data, it has actually increased. And these factors that you mentioned, malnutrition, conflict, poverty, these are recipe for poor, you know, health status. So the socioeconomic status determines the health status of a population. So if this situation prevails, which we know South Sudan, really low literacy rate is there, there's conflict, there's malnutrition and poverty. When there's malnutrition, malnutrition causes a vicious cycle. Malnutrition weakens your immunity, and you become more susceptible to infection, infectious diseases like malaria, diarrhea, pneumonia. And when you get these infections, you have diarrhea, which worsens your malnutrition status. You lose appetite, you don't eat well. So this one again worsens your health status and becomes more vulnerable to diseases. So conflict, the mere, you know, conflict causes access issues. You don't access health services. So when a child is sick, you know, you won't be able to access the services. So all these risks, South Sudan is vulnerable based on having all these other factors, which worsens the general health status of the population. And actually in 2017, the latest report, one in 10 under five actually die before their fifth birthday, compared to 2016, which is one in 15. So you see the increment, more children are dying in
South Sudan.
Yes.
Yeah, that's quite worrying, though. Now, as you did mention, there's a little increment from 2016 to 2017. What could have caused this? I mean, you mentioned all this, but this is still the same factors that were there in 2016 and in 2017. What actually caused this increment?
Well, the major causes of, if you look at children from above, let's look at above 1 month. If you look at children above 1 month, the major causes are mainly infectious diseases, especially in Southern Africa. Infectious diseases, things like malaria, what we see every day, diarrhea, pneumonia. These conditions, coupled with malnutrition, which worsen the immunity of these children, it puts them at a higher risk of dying. So, but if you look at children below 1 month, that is the neonates, there are three major causes. One is around the time of birth, where children sometimes they are born delivery takes the labor takes long, then it becomes complicated and child does not breathe well. So at that point, that is one of the major causes called intrapartum related causes. And the second one for newborn is really children who are born premature, before the due dates. Mm-hmm. So these children had higher chances of dying than children who are born at due date, with many reasons around there why children are born really before. And typical is one could be child marriage, children, mothers who get pregnant before their age of 20 at high risk of having young mothers at high risk of having preterm babies. And infectious diseases like malaria, if you don't go to antenatal care, you are at high risk of having a preterm, delivery. The third one is really infections, where we deliver in the homes. The lot of deliveries that still take place at homes. And the hygiene status at homes are not the best. Mm-hmm. So that's why we advocate for mothers to go to deliver in the hospitals, so that infection really that goes through the cord can be prevented. So if you look at those two groups, those are the two major causes of neonatal and then child mortality.
Yes, and when I was going through this report, I realized something, and this report also spoke about the disparities within countries, and surprisingly states that children born to uneducated mothers are more than twice as likely to die before turning five than those born to mothers with a secondary or higher education. Can you explain this link between an educated mother and child mortality?
Education is, this is really based on, can be contextualized to each community. And it also depends on how women are seen in the status of women in the community. So generally, there are many studies that has documented the relationship between education status of a mother and the survival rate of the child. Mm-hmm. And an educated mother has ability to decide, has more power to decide whether to take a child who is sick to the hospital immediately than a mother who is not educated, who may need to seek permission from another person who could be the husband or the in-laws, which is a major practice in Africa. An educated woman would be able to comprehend a lot of the information around health issues. Mm-hmm. For example, if a new intervention has come up and is communicated that, for example, in 2016, South Sudan had the cholera outbreak, and there was communication that you wash your hands when you before you eat, wash your hands after visiting latrine. All this can be much more comprehended by an educated woman than if you compare to somebody who hasn't gone to school. And the fact that education alone takes more time for a woman to be in school, than if you're not in school, probably you may end up getting marrying early. So some of these are the factors surrounding, but it is more, can also be contextualized to each community, how you view women in the social status in the community.
All right. We've seen the report. We've talked about it. Now let's look at ways or possible intervention that can make the biggest difference in averting child mortality rates. Now, particularly in South Sudan, what should we do? The figures are really worrying.
Yeah. I think this calls for all of us to put our efforts together. We need to strengthen our preventive and curative and treatment that we provide, targeting the major causes in under five. And also this goes to the community, that when the services are available, we should be able to access, the services. Sometimes people go late to the health facilities. They take time at home. When they come, it is really late. So it is both at the supply and the demand side. And basic things like making skilled health workers available to conduct deliveries, for example, because you're saying, actually 50% of this death occur, in newborn, which is the first 28 days, and much of it at the time of the delivery. So if a mother who is pregnant can go and be delivered with under the supervision of a skilled person, that one can go a big mile, you know. Mm-hmm. And having things like clean water, infection is a big issue, infectious diseases, you know, and especially in newborn, this is key. So having clean water in our facilities and having wash hygiene practices at homes when we are caring for newborn is very critical. And having medicines and all this. So this calls both, you know, at the policymakers' levels and also the health managers and providers, as well as the community. You know, when the service is available, they should be able to access this. Mm-hmm. But we should make that the community is able to access the services as well. All because right. as we looked before, that conflict and those other things can prevent access to services.
Kemis, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. Now, for the mother out there who is listening to us right now, what message do you have for her?
Well, the mothers who are outside there, I'm telling you that when you're pregnant, you should go to the health facility. And there are an array of services that are provided from the health facilities that can go a long way in preventing the death and survival of your child. And when you want to deliver, you should go to the nearest health facilities and be assisted by a skilled person. And also to the mothers, we should avoid bad practices, like sometimes you put cow dung on the umbilical cord of a, mm-hmm. of a neonate, you put soil. Some of these practices cause infections, okay. and all that. All right. So we should embrace and access services, use the services that are being provided in the health facilities.
Kamis Henneth, it's always good to have you on the Mirai Breakfast. So thank you so much for coming.
Welcome. Thank you, William.
Thank you.
All right, bye.